This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
The Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre presents Well, Well, Well on Joy, a show that's all about sex, health and well-being.
Joy, joy, joy.
To Well, 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 this is Murray and I'm joined by the lovely Jack from the Victorian AIDS Council. Jack, how's things?
Oh, not bad, Murray. It's good to be back because we haven't been on air for, I haven't been on air for a few weeks. So I'm excited to be back here on Well, Well, Well. But of course, we're missing our colleague, the lovely Carlos. He's otherwise detained today.
He's told us we're allowed to cry on air.
Yes, we're missing Carlos. He was otherwise detained because he's got some training to do. But we're here, Murray, myself. And every week, we have three co-hosts, except for today, of course. And we discuss a variety of issues with guests on topics that you would like us to talk about.
So that's right, anything to do with sex, health and well-being.
And the GLBT community, anything at all, let us know.
You know, you and I, when we plan our shows, we link it back to anything.
No, of course we do. That's what it's all about.
That's right. So how do people get in touch with us, Jack?
You can like us on facebook.com/wellwellwelljoy. We love comments on our wall or call 1-300-JOY-949 and send us an email onair@joy.org.au or SMS 0427-JOY-949.
So today we're going to be talking about HIV and ageing with our special guest David O'Keefe from the We Can Do project. He will be explaining shortly all about that project, and we'll also be talking to Lizzie Craig who works for VAC, and she's waving at me now. People can't see you waving, Lizzie.
I'm waving.
She's from the Positive Living Centre, and she carries out the ageing brief on behalf of VAC.
Yes, I know Lizzie quite well. We've worked together for many years now, at least 10 years at VAC, and before that at the Alfred and through RDNS.
Probably 10 years with RDNS.
Easily. So Lizzie's well versed in ageing, as is David O'Keefe from We Can
I'm
Do.
Not that old, John.
Not everyone's as old as some of us, I know. Anyway, it's great to have you here.
So it's going to be a bumper show, and it's going to be exciting to discuss those two topics.
Now, Murray, also in July, we should mention the fact that Melbourne will be hosting AIDS 2014.
Absolutely. If you've been living under a rock, everyone knows about AIDS 2014, and particularly for us, the strong focus that we've got with the MSM, which is the Men Who Have Sex With Men pre-conference, which will be on the Saturday and Sunday before the main conference.
That's the 19th and 20th, the MSM.
19th and 20th, yep.
And the main conference is from the 20th to the 25th of July.
Yeah. So at VAC, we've got a whole heap of activities that we'll be running. We've got a very strong presence with the Saturday and Sunday conference, as well as every day in the Global Village for AIDS 2014. And we'll also have special events that we're running in the evenings, in the mornings, and on both weekends, stuff at the Laird. It's all happening.
It's all happening in Melbourne. And the MSM conference is at the Melbourne Town Hall, and it's open to anybody, but you must register. And the main AIDS 2014 conference is at the Melbourne Conference and Exhibition Centre, otherwise known as Jeff Shed. That the Global Village is open to anybody in the community as well. And we're looking at ageing with HIV, and I'm very pleased to say we've got David O'Keefe as our first guest on the show today. Now, David, you're part of the We Can Do project. Can you tell us what that is and which organisations are involved in it? And what's your role in the project?
All right. First off, thanks very much for having me in. It's great to see you as always, Jack, and also Murray. The We Can Do is a relatively new project, and it originates out of the Alfred Hospital and Monash University. It's a consortium of three or four different groups, and we're funded by the Victorian Department of Health for this project, and we also have partners in the Royal District Nursing Service as well as VAC through the Positive Living Centre. And the main aim of the project is, first off, my role in the project is to oversee the advertising and recruitment for this project. And so it's all about spreading the word about this service and how people living with HIV can benefit from its use.
Okay, so we're working in partnership with yourself.
Yes, and, yeah. Most definitely. And the two main leads in this actual project are Dr. Carolyn MacDonald.
Yeah, know Carolyn well.
Yep, and Carolyn's research has predominantly been around psychosocial issues of living with HIV and aging with HIV. And then the other person is Dr. Julian Elliott, who's the head of infectious diseases research at the Alfred Hospital, and he's had vast experience with HIV, both here in Australia and overseas.
No, that's good.
So can you just tell us a little bit more about it? So if you hadn't heard of the We Can Do project and someone said to you, what is it? What is it in a nutshell?
Sure. Very simply, it's about health promotion, problem solving and individualised approaches and building self-management capacity for individuals who are living with HIV. So it's a health service in many ways. Targeting those people, men and women, all genders, who may be living with HIV, who are 40 years of age and over.
So you're trying to link into people who may not be connected or maybe falling through some gaps?
Yeah, most definitely, because invariably a lot of people have those connections within the community. To organisations such as the Positive Living Centre down in Prahran, and also, say, Living Positive, Straight Arrows, POS Women. But there's lots of people out there who may not, and this service is about helping those people, building resilience.
So helping them in what ways?
So there will be, say for instance, they may feel very isolated socially within the community. They don't have, say, a circle of friends they can fall back on. They may not feel comfortable disclosing their HIV status. Mm. So how do we help those individuals?
Because social isolation is a major issue, isn't it, for some groups within the HIV community?
Most definitely, And if you're socially isolated, it's more than likely you'll have other issues that you have to contend with well.
So you touched on briefly, you said it, so the question is how do you help those people that have identified that may require some additional support? What's the answer to that? How do you help them?
Well, it's about helping them, teaching them to help themselves.
Right, okay.
Yeah, and so they feel confident to go out there. And it's that whole idea of self-confidence. And they shouldn't be afraid to be able to disclose the fact they have HIV. And we shouldn't live in a society where it's an issue where people feel scared to disclose their HIV status.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, David, what is the average age of people living with HIV in Victoria?
At the moment, it's approximately 45. This is the median age. That's the most recent figure I could get for 2011. So I don't think it's changed that much since then. But there is implications for the fact that we generally are having our populations getting older, average age.
Yeah, generally as well.
Yeah, so it's not just people living with HIV and those issues then about aging with HIV.
You know, isn't it good that we can talk about aging with HIV these days when in the old days it was nothing like that? So even though it brings its own complexities and levels of issues, the fact that we're talking about ageing context of HIV is significant.
Oh, well, given that until the introduction of different, ART, it was highly unlikely people would succumb to HIV.
And ART means?
Antiretroviral therapies.
That's right.
Sorry.
Now, it's a different ballgame totally today, where there's so much medications and drug regimes.
Yep. So now I guess the big push is around, inverted commas, the successful ageing.
So with the idea that we have this project, the idea is how do we focus on issues around, say, stigma and discrimination.
Right.
So with the actual this service, we ask people the questions people will ask us: how does one disclose a HIV status or diagnosis, and who can you tell? Who and when should you tell? Like, there's issues like you may have an issue where you obviously have HIV, but you have another comorbidity, say heart disease. Your doctor who treats you for HIV will be aware of that, but then how do you tell this cardiologist? And then there's the flow-on effects. How many people do you need to inform each? And that whole process. And the anxiety that builds up about disclosing HIV status for individuals as well. Insurance, the workplace, family and loved ones, friends. You know, there's those issues associated with disclosure around HIV. The whole issue of social isolation. Will my family still want to have anything to do with me through the whole process of disclosure? You know, the workplace. If you're in the workplace still, who can I tell? I have to take time off to go and see a doctor, whatever the case may be.
Now, David, you were talking before about there's improved treatments in recent years, quite a lot of advances in that area.
Yeah.
So that means that people are living longer with HIV. That brings us up to the aging question.
Yeah.
Now, what are some of the other challenges, the broader issues that you're coming across or identifying?
Well, apart from the issues of stigma and discrimination, also in the chronic disease, we've touched on this previously with the whole issue of social isolation and limited family or, say, mental support for those individuals living with HIV. And this is the way that we can do project is focusing on the issue, well, how do we assist people get out of those rush, if for want of a better word, where they're isolated, yes, not feeling they can discuss their status, and what support groups are out there, how can we as a community provide that support? And it's not just about people going along to say for instance the Laird, or going down to PLC, or going to another venue. It could be the fact that this person has an interest, a hobby, and it would be really beneficial for them to say get involved, say if they like quilting, go along to a local quilting club, dog walking club. There could be a sport they're involved in or they used to be involved in, and they'd like to rejoin the local football club in some supportive way.
Yeah,
and
reconnect people with local communities, with the gay community, with a whole range of services.
All those things that help them be involved and have confidence in themselves within the society.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so how are you finding them in the first instance?
Well, with the We Can Do project, we have a range of methods. We are advertising within the community. Mm-hmm. So when I say the community, I'm talking about the gay community. And so we're placing advertisements, say, at VAC, PLC, Living Positive, Straight Arrows, POS Women. We're also placing flyers around different venues, so the different pubs, clubs, different doctors' surgeries as well, and clinics, which are really important because for those people who are especially socially isolated, they may not be aware. The Royal District Nesting Service, or RDNS.
The wonderful RDNS, with whom VAC has a partnership. And Lizzie's an old RDNS nurse herself.
I sure am.
Yeah.
Old.
Sorry, former.
We're using the Medicare Locals. I've been very supportive.
Yeah, well, that would be
us.
A good link to find people that are socially isolated.
Yeah, yep. Most definitely.
Also, I'm aware that some of our clients have financial pressures and housing issues. So you're identifying all those things as well and make appropriate linkages and referral.
Yeah, most definitely. And this is part of the process, getting the word out so people are aware. And it's not also the person who's positive. If you're a carer of somebody who's HIV positive, you can refer that person as well, or encourage them to refer on to the We Can Do project.
So what is the referral process? Where are you directing people through to?
Well, there's a number of ways that a person can either self-refer, or their GP can refer them, or their carer can refer them. So there's a 1-800 number, there's a email address, and also there's a website they can go to as well. I'll perhaps give them towards the end.
We'll go over those towards the end, so it'll be fresh in people's minds about how they can link into We Can Do.
Yeah, most definitely. And we can talk, and they talk to a person who then refers them on to somebody like Lizzie. And all these people are professional health coaches. They have lots of experience in dealing with people with HIV.
So when did you say this was set up? How new is this?
It's only I'm just trying to think of the time frame. It'll be 6-7 months approximately. So that's how recent it started. And we're really keen to get as many people interested.
So, Jack, we've received a couple of messages. We've got one from Jason Esselin. It says, "Howdy, fellas. Great chat. Give David a big hug for me."
Oh.
And we've also received one from Stufan, who is saying, "Always, as always, entertaining yet educative. Keep up the good work, boys. And if you want to join in the conversation, give us a text, 0427JOY949. So, David, can you tell us a little bit about what the benefits of using the online tool for the We Can Do project are?
Okay. With the online tool, basically, it's a web page, and the individual can go to that web page, and it's www.wecando.org.au, and access a range of different services and links to different organisations in the community that provide different services, whether that's about health, financial services, social issues.
So it's like a resource guide almost?
Yeah, basically. Mm. And it gives a breakdown about also accessing the services of the health coaches as well. So people can also self-refer through that website as well. Great. Yeah.
And so how long would it take to fill out this tool,
this form? It's very, very quick. Basically, what you're doing is by putting in some details. We'll get back in contact with you and ask, would you prefer either to talk to a male or female health coach, and what's a convenient time, because basically, you get 6 free sessions.
Okay, that was going to be my next question.
Oh, sorry, okay. Yeah, you get 6 free sessions with the health coaches. Now, it could be you only end up using 3. Mm. Or if you, it could be the case you actually need more time, and that time will be negotiated, and you could end up using 10.
Case plan is almost is developed. And, and is this face-to-face, or is this all done through...
It's all done through the phone, because we're aware that a lot of people, the actual... issue of getting in to see the counsellor the health coach can be an issue. So we would phone them, so there's no cost involved, basically their time, whereby the health coach will discuss it in a convenient time of the day and week and contact the person.
So there's a flexibility inbuilt into the process and the system, and responsive to the needs of the individual.
Most definitely. And especially if you're living in, say, country Victoria. Now, if you're up in Mildura, for him, you know, getting down is a flight or a very long train or bus ride. We wouldn't expect you to be able to be doing that. So, therefore, or also there's issues of mobility. You may be in a wheelchair, but you want to access this service. So, why not? Why don't we call you and make it a lot easier for you to do that? And that would be ongoing.
So, I mean, I know it's only been 7 months, but are you seeing any trends? Are there any, you know, particular things that people are sort of requesting over and over?
Given that I don't actually have any contact per se, other than the referral stage, I haven't had any feedback on that yet. Right. And there's issues of confidentiality there and privacy. So I couldn't tell you for certain what they are. So look, that's not been smart. But Lizzie might be able to jump in.
I could just say that in the last 6 or 7 months, that's been setting up the project. So that's from the start, getting the health coaches trained, which, you know, you have to go away and get trained and then talk about what it is at hand, getting out all the information to the GP and the greater community. That's where we're at the moment. Now we're up to the referral stage, where people will come in and do a referral.
Right.
We will keep all that information, and then it will be evaluated. And then
how many
be
health
open.
Coaches are there?
Three.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Lizzie, we'll be talking to you shortly, but you're one of those health coaches working with the We Can Do project, as well as at VAC.
Yeah.
Now, that's good. Now, I'm glad it's flexible and responsive, because there's lots of people living beyond the metropolitan area who are in need with living with HIV and the ageing issues, etc. And sometimes we may forget that we can become a bit city-centric, I think.
Oh, yeah.
So anything that creates flexibility and accessibility by phone contact for health coaching, I think, is a great initiative.
Yeah, most definitely.
Now, this was funded by the Department of...
The Victorian Department, so the State Department of Health.
Yeah. And it's been through various research. And for those who don't understand, a lot of these projects have to go through various research and ethics committees.
Yep.
VAC has one. The hospital has...
And Monash, where I'm based. Yeah, we had to go as well.
And RDNS.
And RDNS, of course. Yes. Yeah, there's a lot of processes. So things have been well and truly vetted. And if it's in the best interest of the community and there's a public health benefit, that's how it all works.
Yep.
Now, David, what are the numbers? Or that you had mentioned a 1-800 number before.
Yes. There's, as I said, there's a range of ways the listener can contact us regarding this. And again, please... It's not just if you are positive. If you are care of that person who is positive, they can make the referral. Also, if you're a GP or health professional, you too can make a referral onto the We Can Do project. Now, there's three main ways. Yeah. There's the 1-800 number. That's 1-800-004-122. So that's a toll-free number, and people can phone and leave their details, and we'll get back in contact with them. Email is refer, R-E-F-E-R, at wecando.org.au. And finally, go to the website. It's www.wecando.org.au. And also, you can also contact us through our different partners. That's including VAC, Living Positive, Straight Arrows.
Sure.
And all those different organisations. POS Women, who will have those details at their sites or
terrific venues. And we'll go over those numbers at the end of the show.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.